God in his power. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Shakespeare. Though Juliet's profound inquiry has deep implications, her conclusion is based on what she could measure with her physical senses. She knew the sweetness of a rose only because she could compare it to other physical things that were also sweet. A rose is one of God's creation beauties and gives us context for discerning God's creative power. Our ability to name these beautiful things also comes from God and broadens our knowledge and understanding of his creation. However, Juliet's question, "What's in a name?" is limited to what she could discern with her physical sense of smell. On the other hand, our Almighty God, who created the earth, cannot be discerned with any of our physical senses. He is spaceless and timeless, with limitless power. Let us consider the scriptures, which show how God lovingly engaged his servants on a level they could understand with their limited knowledge. God used descriptions of his character along with his name. El Shaddai. God first used El Shaddai, God Almighty, when describing himself to Abram. He gave Abram an expectation and then hope for his future. Walk before me and be blameless. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Then he graciously offered Abram hope by making an unconditional promise to him in the following verse. I will establish my covenant between you and me and will multiply you exceedingly. Genesis chapter 17, verse 2. Revealing his power to Abram had a profound effect. The very next verse says, Abram fell on his face. Genesis chapter 17, verse 3. In a broader context, we are inspired by powerful things in our physical world. For example, we are amazed at the strength of the world's strongest men when we see them lift an automobile. We marvel at mighty construction machines that allow one man to do the work of 100 or more. And we struggle to comprehend the speed of today's supercomputers and their complex calculations. However, El Shaddai exceeds the might of all mankind's creations by simply revealing himself to Abram as God Almighty. Like Abram, we humbly bow before El Shaddai's eternal might. Throughout the book of Genesis, God seems to have revealed himself by his attributes rather than his name. This changed when Moses encountered God at the burning bush. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Carefully considered, proper names have a significant depth of meaning. Parents often name their children with unique and powerful meanings. For instance, Josiah means God has healed, while Jesse means God exists. Proper names suggest a powerful identity for the children as they mature and learn about the differences of others whom they meet. Hence, in Genesis, when the writer describes the creation account and the agency of the Creator, Elohim, plural usage of the Supreme God, is given credit. The name Elohim provides the reader with a sense of ultimate authority and power. Jehovah. After numerous life experiences and generational lessons had been learned, God shared a fuller meaning of his name with Moses in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. The name referred to the very essence of the independent nature of the one who bears the title, Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal one. Upon careful consideration, it is difficult for the human mind to consider the power behind the meaning of a name ascribed to an individual who has no beginning or end and possesses infinite power. Perhaps this may be why God delayed sharing his name with those who revered him. God waited to reveal his infinite name to finite beings in his graciousness. As time passed, several events revealed a more deeply relatable aspect of God's character through his ensuing names and descriptions of his power. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is often interpreted as the Lord will provide. This name of God may not inspire the reader with a sense of his power, but in Abraham's experience, God proved his faith by providing a sacrifice that saved Isaac's life. In addition, he foreshadowed how he would provide his only begotten son to ratify his unconditional promise of blessing. In the Genesis 22 account, Abraham named the location where God asked him to sacrifice his promised son, Isaac. While Abraham surely remembered God's promise that his future posterity was to come through Isaac, God proved Abraham's faith with the ultimate test of obedience. Abraham moved forward and made the necessary preparations, and just as he raised the blade to complete the sacrifice, the angel of the Lord stepped in. Realizing that Abraham was willing to hold nothing back, God accepted his act as though it had been completed. Isaac was spared, and a ram was provided. We then read in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." The name Jehovah Jireh is only mentioned once in the Bible, which is unusual considering the many times God provided for his people throughout Scripture. This name is only used in the specific instance when God provided a ram for Abraham to sacrifice instead of his son Isaac. This one encounter highlights the significance, depth, and power of the name Jehovah Jireh. Our own humanity is hard to hide when we put ourselves in Abraham's place. We see God asking his friend Abraham to do the unthinkable. How many of us could obediently and reverently accept what Abraham was told to do? Consider the emotional pain, the restlessness of the heart, and the sleeplessness that Abraham likely experienced after knowing what was expected of him. It is easy to focus on the rational side of the lesson when we consider Apostle Paul's commentary on the event in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. He, Abraham, considered that God can raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. This beautiful belief likely helped Abraham crystallize his conviction to complete what was asked. But how did his heart experience the matter? Could someone be considered a friend of God if they did not have the active capacity to empathize at such a level? Capturing Abraham's internal struggle with words is impossible. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, even the son promised to him, through whom all the future seeds of blessing would come. Why would a friend who is God Almighty make such a difficult request? When we speak of Abraham, we often highlight his obedience and status as God's friend. However, his emotional struggle is easily missed if we read the story too quickly. Yet, when we consider Abraham's possible internal tumult, we see the depth of what Jehovah Jireh provided on the Mount of the Lord. Several aspects of power present themselves during this event. Setting aside Abraham's unwavering faith in his actions, we see an unrivaled power in God's actions. Yes, God asked his friend to do the unthinkable. Still, upon seeing his friend's unwavering commitment and faith, Jehovah Jireh stepped in, stopping the completion of the sacrifice at the last moment and sparing his friend. He saved a father from ending his child's life. It becomes very clear that Jehovah Jireh understands the gravity of what he asked his friend to do. God not only counted Abraham's sacrifice as complete before it was finished, but God foreshadowed how he would one day be in Abraham's place through Abraham. When that day came, God would finish what was necessary to provide a sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. God promises a day will come when all of mankind understands the depth of meaning of Jehovah Jireh. On the Mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. It shall be seen that Abraham's instructions from God foreshadowed Jesus' sacrifice, and that Jehovah Jireh limited the lasting emotional pain of his friend Abraham by recognizing what Abraham was willing to complete. When God stayed the blade of Abraham, Jehovah Jireh essentially said to him, "This is necessary, and you are willing, but you need not go further. You need not bear the pain. I will complete this." Jehovah Nissi. We learn of the Amalekites' attack on the Israelites in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Moses told Joshua to take some of the men of Israel and fight the Amalekites at Rephidim. Although neither Moses nor Joshua physically fought the enemy, Moses would be integral to this battle. In trusting God through Moses' instructions, Joshua chose the men to fight, and he proceeded in faith. As the battle raged on, Moses' part became more apparent. The Israelites won when Moses' hands remained elevated while he held his staff. But as soon as his arms tired and fell, the Amalekites began to win the battle. Aaron and Hur accompanied Moses on his trek to the top of the hill overlooking the battle. When Moses' arms began to drop, Aaron and Hur brought him a stone to sit on, and they supported Moses' arms. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Exodus chapter 17, verses 12 and 13. A beautiful picture is then painted as another facet of our Heavenly Father's character. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." The Lord is my banner in Hebrew is Jehovah Nissi, another powerful title for God. For God's children, this name is one we can acknowledge, treasure, and put into practice in our Christian walk. David tells us that the Lord's people can wholeheartedly rely on God to be their victory. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. We see repeatedly how the Lord provided victory for the Israelites from so many mighty armies, but not one could withstand the power of our God, Jehovah Nissi. Conclusion. While we do not experience fleshly battles like the Israelites, we have a formidable and wily enemy over which we may gain victory with the help of our Almighty God. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. God has provided the way to victory over every obstacle through the ransom and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we use the example of Hur and Aaron holding up the arms of Moses as a practical way to hold up our brethren? The Apostle Paul provides us with an answer. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Just as Moses' companions held up his arms when he was exhausted and depleted of strength, we too can help our brethren as they face many trials in this life. We are called as Christians to bear one another's burden. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. As much power as we see at work in the lives of faithful men and women, we must remember that we too have access to that same power, which goes far beyond what we can discern with our physical senses. We have been given spiritual discernment, which the world believes is foolish. While our adversary would like us to forget to ask our Almighty God for help, our El Shaddai has no competition, and our Elohim has no worthy rival. Our Jehovah Jireh will provide for all our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. Our Jehovah Nissi will lift us up when encouragement is needed, creating a sweetness to which no rose could compare. That is what is in the name of God, a power that is understandable, relatable, exceptional, and immeasurable.